Hey,
what's up?
You know, it was unintentional, but tonight is New Corner of the Galaxy. Obviously, I think we should talk to Josh and like become his pre-show. Why can't
that be
we
nice
pre-show?
I know, that's fair.
That'd be great.
We're not professional enough. We gotta tighten up a little bit around here.
Josh, we're working on it. Season two.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Crazy.
Yeah, we're back. We're at it again. Welcome to the G30 podcast. This is Nelson with Mike and Timmy.
What's up, y'all?
I got to ask you right away. In retrospect, the spicy taco curse was not a thing, was it?
Nope. It was not. Because we always knew the outcome of the Galaxy games either way, with or without my curse, sadly.
Mikey, I don't know.
You know what? I'm trying to take an optimist approach to this season. I listened back to our holiday special. I was just so run down at the time.
It was low, dude. It was low.
It was a very low time, but we've seen some developments be made on all fronts. Developments that we like. You know, we'll talk about that later, but let's just try and be happy this year.
Let's do it. Let's try it. Until they ruin our hopes. Okay. We're going to try and be positive. Okay. You know what? A big voice in the community, Masa, over at Straight from the Stands, Mazzatelli, he called people out, bro. He was like, it's too negative. It's like it tipped like,
All right. Well, there you go. We're starting off season two on a great note. Count has found his way outside of the pod.
For real.
But he's back. Yeah, I'm handing
that
back
out to him. Out of the pod. I kicked myself out of professional as always.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you know, it's fine. We like to be critical, but for a lot of people, all of a sudden it was like too much. And I saw a lot of people taking a break from Galaxy Twitter and stuff. It's been a little heavy lately.
Y'all need to go touch some grass.
Oh god.
Figure it out. I'm not one to speak with being angry, but there's a moment in time where it's like,
it's a little too far.
I wish we had a meter, Timmy, for Mikey's screen. I'm going to figure it out, like the Stephen A meter. Like, if it's like tipping, if it's like turning red, like we'll see
Oh my God.
Mikey is evolving. All right. So the plan for tonight is going to be a recap of the offseason-ish, pretty much. We're going to talk about transfers. We're going to talk about the potential DP situation. And I guess we're going to talk about what was I going to do? Oh, the game that passed that we really don't have any details about. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do Mikey's Corner, and that'll be about a half hour. What do you think? Sounds
good.
I didn't get out. This is the equivalent of syllabus day.
Yeah, syllabus day. So. I like it. So let's switch. The off season. There's our little production banner. Ooh, the off season. Okay. Timmy, what are you thinking about the off season so far in general?
I mean, it's been okay. It's just that people are waiting for that flashy new DP, I guess. But I mean, I guess Douglas Costa is flashy, but not what everyone expected. Everyone was expecting this like baller ass, like DP playmaker that was gonna like, you know, I mean, think about it. We went from hoping to have Rusnak on our team, which was like, oh my god, that day was insane.
I wish we could have like a montage of like the things that have happened in the offseason. Yeah,
Rusnak. Rusnak. And then it was Raheem Edwards from LAFC. We were like, oh, everyone was droopy, and then for like an hour, it was like, "Yeah, we're gonna get Rusnak." And then they tweeted out, "Oh, he's not coming to LA; he's coming to Seattle." We're like, "Ah, oh, come on!"
Yeah, it's been that tease, huh?
Yes, but yeah, that's a good like speech, I guess you could say, for the off season, because it's been more of like a tease more than an actual like get to the journey or like get to the destination type of thing. I think that's my take on it. We got our pieces right. Yeah. We got what we needed, but not exactly what we wanted.
The question. Mikey, you want to jump in? Overview?
Yeah, so I'm going to come out of the gates and say this offseason hasn't been a loss and this transfer window hasn't been a loss, because what we are under the impression of is maybe we do bring in someone in the summer. So I'm going to look at this transfer window from the standpoint that we're going to bring in more pieces over the summer, more role players, because if Douglas Costa comes on as a DP, then realistically we don't really have a lot more to work with. But I'm gonna look at this from like a standalone, like these are the guys we brought in and this is what we have to work with. I'm gonna take it as kind of a win. I'm gonna give him a lowercase okay. W, not a capital W.
Okay.
And I mean, we shelled out players. We had a few departures, JDS being notable. We brought a replacement for him. Harvey, I'm not too sure what the deal is on his visa or if he's an international spot, which I don't think he is, right?
Last I heard, they were working on that for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have Edwards, who's going to give Viafania some well-needed rest, I feel. And our draft picks were nice. Mutatu.
Very bright spot, I must say.
Looks good. So I'm going to look at this as a Galaxy W, lowercase W, lowercase not too big.
Yes.
But I don't know. Douglas Costa, the DP signing, I think that'll be nice. I'm a big Douglas Costa advocate guy here.
We'll save it. We'll talk about
We'll save that. Yeah.
Civil War. The G30 Civil War.
The G30 Civil War.
Softened.
But I'm going to give it an L on the – a capital L on the standpoint of the fans.
Oh,
and how we just can't get over Pavone. Like, we just can't get over this guy. We can't. And there was a point in time this offseason where I was like, you know, like, I sort of was sipping on it a little bit. And I was hey, you know, Pavone maybe isn't that bad, right?
Yes.
But I don't know. I just feel like at this point, and it's where we started when he left.
Yeah.
It was,
yep.
He's going here. He's not going here. He was going to go play for Cruz Azul or wherever in Liga MX, and he's not playing there anymore. Or not going to go. And it's like, is this man going to find a job?
Yeah.
So,
for real.
Cat or lowercase W for the organization and what they did to sort of try and soften the blow of a few of the departures and helping our old guys. But an L on the standpoint of the fans where it's like, we just expect too much.
Yeah. I'm going to say that as well. I kind of have the same sentiment. I think we've all ridden the ups and downs, and like, I don't want to sit here and be like, I'm not partaking in Galaxy Twitter, because I am. But there have been moments, I think, for the first time in a long time for me, where I was like, dang, I need to take a break, just because it's a roller coaster up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, Mike. I think we are in this perpetual state of like, we need a splash signing. And then you sign someone. I know people are mad about the comparison, but you sign someone like Gio, right? Or Stevie G. And then we have them, and then they suck. And it's like, well, why do we have this fucking guy, but we don't have like the role players? And then like, we sign role players, and then people get mad we have role players. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that Greg. So I think Greg has done a great job of tuning all the shit out. And maybe that's why we're not hearing anything, because they're like, fuck you guys.
Oh, God. Dude, people are already coming after Greg's head, man. I'm like, God, already. Damn, already.
So
it was even before this offseason. Sorry. Go ahead.
What I see is that Greg has established the foundation last year, which we knew what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. He made some decisions to supplement it, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. And then he's going to get a DP choice. And like he said, there's still room for two more TAM players. So it's not done yet. I'm not saying he doesn't get critique or he shouldn't get critique, but I think if he doesn't deliver this season and there's problems again, that's for sure.
That's for sure on him.
But let's wait and see. It's Chris Klein's contract year. That hasn't meant shit before, but we'll see. It's also Dan Beckerman's contract year. That hasn't meant shit before. So, like, we'll see. But it could be a potential, like, if it explodes, then it all explodes. If they do well, then these guys look like geniuses. So, I don't know. We'll see. But let's move to the next section real quick, because I think that's where we want to go. So, we are going to talk about the transfer talk right now. So, we're focusing on... Let's save Costa for a minute, but we're going to talk about Raheem Edwards, Marky Delgado, and who's the third one? Leerdam, Kelvin Leerdam. Okay, so let's start with Edwards, first permanent player to cross the divide. Mikey, what you think?
I'm really indifferent on this one. I look at it from more of the standpoint where it's like, is he going to be versatile in both the wing and the left back position? Like, the thing that just confused me with that signing in general is that we do not play with wing backs. We have never played with wing backs for as long as I've been alive and watched the Los Angeles Galaxy. I don't know if Greg has really radical plans to maybe switch to a 3 and/or 5, but to play a 3 or 5, you need to have two very competent wing backs, or else it does not work.
Yeah.
We've seen this not work at places across the pond in Europe, like Arsenal. United can't do it to save their life, even with Ronaldo. So what the concern here is for me is we have a right back that's seemingly on the verge of leaving soon in Julian Araujo. So I don't know who will play there. I just think it's nice to have Edwards in a depth spot. I don't know how good he is defensively, but you know, the time will tell. And if Viafania goes down, then we can expect him to get a mainstay spot because you know,
Timmy, let me ask you a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Does Edwards take Viafania's spot?
Oh, I don't think so, man.
I did you dirty with that, but I'm curious.
Yeah, no. I don't think so, man. I mean, Viafania he has his knockup with his injuries. That's a very like crucial injury that he got, a bone bruise, which takes a bitch of a time to like actually fully heal.
It just keeps happening too.
It's just a gamble. But honestly, here's my take on Raheem. He's still young. He's very versatile. But the fact that he played on the other side of the lake, man, it just doesn't sit right with me. And people can talk about it all the time. Still, man, it's just and we also kind of talked about his intro video. It was very like, whatever.
He said he's here to win.
He said he's here to win, but it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little hard-headed, but it just didn't feel genuine to me. But so far, right now, it's kind of like more Viafania. I think Viafania still has a spot for me.
Yeah. Mike, you have a thought?
Yeah, I wanted to touch upon his video that he made, the announcement. It felt like the announcement came in the big midst of us focused on completely other things going on. You know, it was the Rusnak day where we thought, oh shit, maybe we're gonna hit on this guy and have him come in. But I mean, him being across town, does it make me question how ready he is to come play here and accept the reception that he's going to get, which will undoubtedly be a little cold? I don't know, but we have to accept this guy as one of our own. I said the same thing with Hämäläinen when he came in. Did he look a little checked out in his welcome video? Yeah, but I mean, he said it's the Mecca of MLS and American soccer, so big statements from, you know.
And Greg developed him.
Yeah, so Toronto guy. If the system hasn't changed, which I think it has changed a little bit since his time. But I'm ready to see what he can do. He hasn't talked a lot, which I like. I feel like he's sort of letting it sit in with the fans. Because, be honest, how happy would any of us be if all we saw on our timeline was Raheem Edwards being like, let's go LA. Like, you don't come here and wear the badge immediately, even though that should be the sentiment you should. It's just going to take a little bit of time for him to get acclimated with the guys. And he seems like he's trying hard in training. So I'm completely okay with Raheem. So
yeah, it's fine. I think it's fine. You know, I was going back and forth one day with Tucker, and I think, you know, Tucker had the sentiment that he thought Raheem could start, and I think that's interesting. It is nice if he can play, that if you are making a substitution, you have a veteran like Viafania coming off the bench. I think Greg might be setting that up, right? If you have Kleshchen, Vasquez, and Viafania coming off the bench, that's pretty nice.
That is nice.
To put in, like, you know, 20 minutes.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that the kind of thing that, like, you rely, if you're down a goal, you rely on those guys to, like, make it happen? I don't know. But maybe Greg wants to win outright. Yeah, I don't know. So that's Edwards. I will say I did a little scouting in the sewers across town about Edwards, and half of them were broken up that he was gone. Half of them were like, goodbye. But the goodbyes, I think, were like a lack of understanding tactically about the kind of player Raheem Edwards is. He attacks. He's not going to like defend very much, which is worrisome, maybe. But like, that raises questions about the three-man back line, and we'll talk about lineup and all that stuff later. I think Koulibaly might play over to Pugh, or maybe it's all three of them. I have no idea.
Oh, man. I hope not.
But let's move on. Marky Delgado. This is a guy that Greg says he doesn't show up on the stat sheet huge, but when you do look at his stats, he has the most presses on the ball in the entire league year after year after year after year. And we were very frustrated last year that Jonah is like, you know, he didn't have that like tackle in him anymore.
He was checked out. Yeah.
Yeah. To turn the play over.
Yeah. He's old. Fucking bum. He's only good riddance.
You know what? He's an old 31. That's what it is. He's only 31.
Yeah. He's on the wrong end of 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody like Marky Delgado, man, a destroyer or could be a box to box, could let Revelison be a box to box. If you have someone like Marky, do you think Revelison could be that box to box? I know we've gone back and forth on that. I think Revelison's more of a destroyer six, right?
Yes.
But Marky as an eight, I don't know. What do you think about that pairing? Let's start with Timmy. Let's start with you.
I like him. I can tell by the way, by like the stats that they had, that he had the most miles. He ran the most distance, I believe. I believe he was top four. And that already shows me like, okay, this kid's a hustler. And y'all know me. I love my hustlers on the Galaxy, man. Mm-hmm. And if Marky can hustle, clean up a little bit on the aisles for the balls, like, you know, clear passes and stuff like that. And also here and there, set up some plays, you know, he'll win my heart automatically. That's what Jonah did in 2019. And he won my heart. So if Marky can do that and possibly better, for sure. I'm hyped about it. He's a good kid.
I saw a training picture. I think they have given him the eight. So, I mean, not that that means that much nowadays, but I think he is the eight. So we'll see.
He's an eight.
Mikey?
I'm excited. I saw the immediate comparisons of, you know, the good business we did to clear up space to bring him in. And that was on the back end of the Leggett transfer. Cheaper Leggett. So do I see a lot of similarities in their game? No. And also to touch back on something that I'd mentioned, I don't like Ryan as a destroyer. I think he offers more as a goal threat and as more of a forward presence than offering much on the defensive end. We have defenders. Let the defenders play defense. It's that easy. Let guys in the midfield create, because that is the only way we will come out of game scoring one or two goals up. We need to let the midfielders do their job. Let Marky do the running and let Ryan be a little creative with whoever we drop in the middle.
Yes.
And because the thing is, it's like, if all of it goes through the final third and if nothing is really created or started from the back, I mean, that's just so flat and it's so two-dimensional that it's like, we can't have two dedicated defenders when we're already playing with four. We can't play six at the back. That just does not work. And I feel like we did a lot of that with JDS, and he did a lot of side running, you know, not even just going from, not going up and down vertically, like going from one end of the pitch to the other, side passes. It's like, cut all that shit out.
Yes.
Give these guys the freedom to do what they want to do. Marky will run, and he's proven himself to run, so let him run and cover ground. Let Ryan create and let the final third attack and score goals.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
The last one is Leardom. Look, he won MLS Cup. He's like O'Neal Fisher, like maybe a little better. He can play center back. Greg loves his utility guys. I don't think there's no disrespect to Kelvin Leardom. I think he's one of these MLS journeymen. He's coming to us from Miami, but everyone knows him from his time in Seattle, where they did play a three-back system or three-center-back system. So that's another little clue. And I think Greg showed hints of it, right? When we were really under the gun last year, Greg went to a three-man back line a bunch of times.
The wingbacks, yes. Yeah,
a bunch of times.
I hadn't seen us do that.
Yeah.
Like, when I was saying I haven't seen them play that, that was up until last season. I've never seen us do that.
For years, I remember thinking for years back in the day, like, oh, man, I'm so tired of Bruce Arena's 4-4-2. Like, the Galaxy has always played, like, this, like, traditional style until, like, GBS, and then the 4-3-3 didn't work or whatever. And then Greg kind of does his weird 4-2-3-1. Now, let's shift. No disrespect, Kelvin. Much love to Kelvin, but it is what it is. I think it is what it is. Let's talk about this DP situation. Okay, DP banner. I need like a sound effect. Okay. Rusnak didn't happen. Okay, so we had Rusnak. There's all kinds of rumors. There's the Italian guy, Teji. What's his name? He's like the best midfielder in France, not on PSG.
I forgot his name.
Montpellier. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I lost my train of thought. Okay, so we had these guys that are like borderline. Like, are they TAM or are they DP? And that's kind of where we are. with Douglas Costa. So let's talk about Douglas Costa. Mike, when we brought this up initially, Mike and I were throwing hands like back and forth about this. My original position was, how are you going to spend a DP spot on someone with Jonah numbers? Admittedly, I was not as familiar as I am now with Douglas Costa. Am I concerned still? Yeah, because of the seeming attitude and like the last couple of seasons, unproductive. You know, that could go hand in hand. I don't know. Mike, I know you're really standing this guy, so I'm just going to let you talk about Douglas Costa.
So for those who are not familiar, Douglas Costa is a Brazilian winger who is, I would consider him a journeyman across Europe, and he's had his time. He's played for the likes of Bayern Munich, Juventus,
Shakhtar.
That's where he originally came from. He was in that same brew with Willian in like 2011, 2012, and he's one of the two that made it out. Now he is spending his time in, I believe, second division Brazilian football. And the concerns here.
To be fair, I messed up. They just got relegated. So it's not like he was relegated. They just got relegated. So they can't afford him. But go ahead.
Yeah. So the concern here that is brought up to us is that we're presented with this issue. It's, why are we going to sign this guy with really not astounding numbers? And to that point, I would say he, as a player, I believe still has a lot in the tank. Do we play him out of 10? I don't think we'd get the bang for our buck there, but I think he could be one of the most electric players in the league. He's fast. He's a fantastic dribbler. It's everything the Galaxy fans want that isn't Pavon. Yeah. Like, this guy has everything Pavon has plus more.
I hadn't thought about that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. He's fast. He's flashy. He's from Southern America. What more do you want? He's won numerous competitions and has played pivotal roles across Europe. And now that he's a little older, and now that he finished last on loan in Brazil, where he's from, so maybe he wants to play there, motherfucker. What if he wants to do that?
Yeah, that's the part that confuses me. It's like, why is he like jumping from club to club to club? Usually that's like the attitude thing. That's the Geo thing. I know that that's not necessarily a fair comparison right now.
No, but it's one to ask.
It's one to ask. If it's a short deal, like I think it is, like it doesn't hurt. It depends. Josh said it best. You can't judge it until you see the money and the terms.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. Timmy.
And I'm not stoked on this. Stoked on this by any means. I'm not fucking out in the streets running with my shirt off, you know, writing home about how Douglas Costa is signing for the Galaxy. It's just more of the fact that it's like, he is the type of DP we want in Pavon. I just don't get the issue.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Give him just a year or two. Give him two.
A
year and an option. Yeah.
They're paying him $5 million, it sounds like. I hope it's not $1 million for 5 years. That would be something Chris Klein does. So if it's like Max 5 million, if it's like two, yeah, if it's like two in and out, you know, like we'll see. Timmy, Douglas Costa.
So here's my thing. He's a fantastic, talented player who unfortunately went his way through Europe, having very flashy games on and off, attitude problems. He's played with Ronaldo, right? He was on the Ronaldo squad with Juventus, right? Am I correct? No?
You know what? I actually think you might be right on that. Let me look that up.
I think he did. But anyways, he's played alongside Ronaldo. He has a very good pedigree of winning things. Very Galaxy-like player. Somebody we would go after. They're going into like their olding age, possibly retiring soon. It's just, I think he would do amazing here, man. Guy is just... Okay. He has his issues. It's just so tough. I'm like in the middle with y'all. It's like the money's gonna talk with it, but his talent is just like, we know his talent, but the money is just, it's just everything. The money complicates everything.
He's world class, bro. Like,
he also did play with Ronaldo.
He did. Exactly.
Okay.
So, and I know I've seen his highlights. I've always liked the way he's played. Me and Mike go way back. We tried to mimic his move like when he was in Bayern, bro. When he had the little ball flick, he's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just the numbers. I get the numbers, but like you can't always judge someone by like the numbers.
It's just, is it a bad contract? Yeah, I understand the stats. Mm-hmm. The terms of the contract will dictate everything. Yes. If they lock this fool up for 5 years for some reason, like,
oh yeah, no, that's different.
Yeah, I doubt that I really doubt that.
That's like fool me once, shame on you. Like if they did it again, like that would be horrible. Yeah.
But yeah, Douglas Costa, I mean, I'm for it. It's just I got to see the money talk first before I say anything else. Okay. He is world-class, definitely.
Hopefully, people accuse him of being a dribble merchant, you know?
Yeah, so's Rolandinho, but we don't talk about him being a dribble merchant.
one episode. We can't go one episode. We love you, Rome.
Dude, I mean, like, the overarching theme here, the overarching theme here that I have with Douglas Costa is he would automatically be the most talented and most skillful player in the league. 100%. I couldn't pin you. Not even Rui Diaz, you couldn't put anyone in this motherfucker pound to pound, just like Zlatan. But here's the thing, Zlatan had numbers. I'm coming from a technical standpoint.
Potential-wise,
he could be the best player in this league after a season or two. It's just how do you go from playing top-level football in Germany and top-level football in Italy and playing in the Champions League year in, year out until you went to Brazil by your means and not have more left in the tank?
Yeah, it's about motivation.
Maybe he's feeling the wear and tear on the legs.
Yeah.
And maybe he's choosing the pace.
He's going to get beat up, but, you know, he's Brazilian. Like, and the Brazilian league is, you know, similar to ours as far as I understand. Obviously, the technical ability is huge. Mm-hmm. This is a nice link back to the days where we were full of Brazilians, like Janinho and Sarvis and Leonardo and all those guys. Oh,
that was great, I must say.
You know? People, Timmy, you've said it a bunch of times. How many people shat on Ashley Cole, including myself, when that happened?
Dude, I was the first person to be like, dude, I fucking love this signing.
Yeah.
And then look what happened. We all fell in love with Ashley Cole, man.
You know, Robbie Keane kind of shat the bed for like a little while until he figured it out.
Dude, but he figured it out. Oh, man.
Yeah. So I don't know what makes this interesting. Is the potential, and it I saw it today, I retweeted it. Someone from Brazil following the Douglas Costa thing was like, can you tell me anything if Pavone is going to be signed? I was like, I don't got a press pass, dog.
Yeah,
I don't know, we're having fun here. You know,
Galaxy, y'all can do that, by the way. We're here.
Yeah, let us in on anything.
We're learning.
Yeah,
We're trying to. I've only cussed twice this time. If they bring Pavone, now here's the thing, Timmy, you and I were going back and forth about like who is okay. Like if you wait to summer to sign the DP, shit ain't gonna happen. If you wait to the summer to bring in the TAM players, maybe. And if you can get Pavone on TAM, his valuation has dropped to about $1.5 million, I think, is what Cruz Azul offered him. I think we can
play.
We can offer more if that is the case. We can TAM him if that is the case. The thing is, his contract has 6 more months. Some people are of the opinion that he's waiting to write it out so he can go as a free. The Galaxy might be waiting to take him on a free. If you can get him on a free, like, why the fuck wouldn't you get him on a free?
Yeah.
It seems like his legal troubles are going away, like that has been resolved.
I hope so.
Greg has said he wants everybody in camp. And then today, I completely walked away from what I was talking about. Today, I retweeted the thing. The thing was, allegedly, Pavone's agent or representative is in LA. So, I don't know.
This Pavone saga never ends, bro. It never ends.
Mikey.
But.
Oh, Timmy, yeah.
What was I going to say? Fuck, I had it in my mouth. Honestly, from what Greg said, Greg was like, I do not want to wait for the summer to have for the DPs, I guess you could say, when he was looking for the DPs. But now that I think about it, you might be honest, I'm thinking out. Because if we get Douglas Costa now, which is our, like, game-changer DP,
Yep.
There is a possibility that we could get Pavone on TAM in the summer. Maybe I was just in the moment because in the Discord I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way this is going to happen. But now it's all starting to make sense because if we do put Douglas Costa as the CAM, which is what it's looking like, if we do go after Pavone, we're going to have Pavone on the wing and Costa in the CAM, I think. That's what it's looking like.
Unless you play Cabral up top, which some people think that we are.
Big boy Cabral.
Which is also a possibility.
You can play Christian at CAM. He plays there. So like that makes the interesting. What will be interesting is to see whether or not they give Douglas Costa the number 10. If they don't give him the number 10.
Then we got a Pavone deal coming this summer real hot.
Yeah. And you know, love this.
And by then, you know, he'll be playing for America or for Tigres or for Pumas or whichever fucking Liga MX club. Like, dude, I hate this guy. To my core.
Steven A.
Yeah. I hate this guy. Why is he a drama queen? What? The issue for me is why is his agent selling him to any Latin team that would throw anything they can at him? And why does a week later the negotiation or the contract, why does it drop?
Yeah.
We know his legal issues. We get it. But holy shit.
Dude,
can you come or can you stay?
Oh, God.
I don't care if your agent's in LA. Your agent could be, I don't know, clubbing it up, spending your money that you're getting from not playing. And by the time summer comes around, he will not have played for almost like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, he's getting cleanup stuff at Boca, from what I understand. He played in that championship game. He threw a trash can or some shit. Yeah, you guys see that? Remember?
That was Bad Boy Pavone. That's where he got his nickname, Bad Boy Pavone.
So, all right, that's where we are as of January 31st. Yes.
I'm gonna go I'm gonna go back to Michael's point. Is he turning down all these clubs, all these top European clubs, which I highly doubt is the situation? But is he denying all these clubs to come here, you think?
No, if he wanted to be here, he would be here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm just saying, because like he had deals from Spain, he had deals from the Liga MX.
He did. He had like some Valencia shit a little bit too, or one of those teams.
And he's a problem. Yeah.
All right.
It's a little sticky.
We don't know much about the preseason game, but they played Toronto FC, still out here beating Bob Bradley.
That was great.
They won 5-4. Two reactions I saw on Twitter. One, 33 minutes. Dang. Okay. We got to go through this. One, damn, look at all those goals everybody got on the score sheet. Two, damn, we gave up a lot of goals. What the fuck is happening here?
Yeah.
So none of us saw it. I guess we'll see Saturday against the Revs. Timmy, are you going, by the way?
Of course.
Okay. All right.
Of course.
So, I don't know. What do you make of it?
I mean, we know we have defensive problems and we don't know if we're going to get fixed. We don't have no idea who played and why all these goals happened.
It's also preseason.
Yeah. But it's hard to judge right now. But just be glad that the people we wanted to be on the score sheet are on the score sheet, which is a good sign. But the defense is also still concerning.
Maybe Cabral's not so much a wet noodle anymore, like Greg said. Damn, exactly. I appreciate that. Mikey.
You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin. Yeah. It's the world's smallest violin. And you know who I'm playing it for tonight?
Who?
The Galaxy backline and whoever played in that back four or back three or back eight or back 11.
Oh, how? Four goals. It's four preseason. Goals? It's preseason.
Overreaction from my end, yes. Is it nice to see the 3 points? Regardless, they don't go anywhere. It wasn't even for points.
Yeah.
Is it nice to see the win? Yes. Is it nice to see that Cabral, Chicha, Munatu, is that his name?
Mutatu
got on the score sheet.
It's a nice goal.
It's great to see all those guys get on the score sheet. I'm on the same page as him.
Yeah. I think in the highlights, a lot of them were penalties too. So it's like, what do you really know? Yeah. Nothing.
Chicharito and Granser goals were penalties, but the Cabral goal it was pretty nice. It had a little curve to it. It wasn't just a straight on the top goal. It had a little finesse on it. I was like, okay, Kevin.
All right. We'll see, Kevin.
Yeah.
Other than that, okay, I'm going to go to Mike's corner. Mike, I got a hot one for you.
Please tell me it's about the jersey. I haven't seen this.
Mike's corner. It's about the jersey. Tell me about the jersey.
You see it.
I like it.
Okay. I like it too.
Me too.
Give me a second and let me read you a tweet that I had concerning the jersey.
Okay, let's not name names, but go ahead.
No, I'm not. No. It's one of my tweets. So I had tweeted out, one thing I love about the hashtag LA Galaxy fan base is that y'all never fail to surprise me to whine about something y'all don't like, in this case, the new home jersey, and then buy it the day it drops, just like those clown ass shoes a few months ago. Pick a side.
Okay.
I think we are a very hard fan base to please.
Does
that come from our shortcomings? Yes. Do I understand why we're very hard to please? Yes. But dude, it is a white jersey with the Galaxy logo, croissants, and like, like it's so classic. It's like our rendition of, and you had mentioned this, it's our rendition of just a classic Madrid looking kit. It is white, it is blue, it is gold. What is there not to like? Am I missing out on something?
No.
Because y'all like those stupid ass Sambas that came out that they slapped the croissants on. What's any different?
Oh, I hope that becomes a thing. The croissants.
Yeah.
Because the Galaxy is French now. Would you like a croissant?
Would you like a croissant? I like it. Yeah, I love the jersey. I love the jersey.
Was I pleased at the sleeve croissants? Not as much. I mean, I was like, I don't care. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like it. And now it's looking like the Authentics has them around the neck too.
Dude,
really?
I like it, kind of. It's different.
It's different.
People want different. Well, it's funny because it's not different because it's a white shirt. But it's
a step away from what we do. We always have like a sash or a stripe.
I get the sash, dude. Like the sash is historic. That's fun, you know. But this is basically the jersey that was the jersey minus a few gold details when I became a fan. So you know, it's. I don't mind it. It's a white shirt, dog. Like, and it's a nice balance to the community kit, which I heard on another podcast, and I was like, "That's my idea." it doesn't matter. But I had said like, it's balanced. Like the community kit is funky, and then like you have the classic one. Who gives a fuck? Like, it's a white shirt.
I like it.
It's just what so hard to. It's just it comes down to like. And what I had mentioned in my tweet about pick a side, it's like, we'll all hate it one day, but I know you two in particular, will be lining outside of the team store to get your little Sambas signed by whoever signed in shoe. I know.
I did not get the Sambas.
Yeah, I'm.
I forced myself not to.
But I know y'all will be out there at the team store the day the jersey drops. I love the jersey.
I like
it. I'll be buying the jersey too.
I'm gonna be buying,
but I didn't come out and be like, "Oh, this sucks. Yeah, this sucks." Go touch grass.
Oh god.
Yeah, that's what the general take is. I think has been everyone was like, "Okay, it's jumped the shark a little bit."
Yeah.
Like we complain, but like half the season through, it'll be like, "Oh, it looks good in person.
It looks sick. It looks so sick."
Which is what I did exactly. I did that shit with the Night Navy kid. I was like, "Ugh," and then I was like, "Whatever."
I fell in love with the Night Navy. Oh, I'm actually wearing it right now.
Yeah. But I also got it for $30 at Marshall's. But, you know, I liked it when they wore it every once in a while. Whatever. The difference is we'll be seeing this one a lot because it's the home kit.
Oh, my God. And I just love this all-white kit. Like,
I love it.
Trust me. Like, the white is going to stand out. Oh, my God. It's so powerful. Because I was at Dick's today, and I saw the Real Madrid jersey, which is very, like, it looks similar to it. And I saw it in person. I was like, oh, my God. Dude,
you know
so
exactly
good.
What it is when you look at it.
Exactly.
I think that's right. Some people have said it's a lazy one before they rebrand, and everyone's been talking about like rebrand and all that and whatever. So we'll see.
It's better to start the decade. I mean, it's 2022. Yeah, it's better to start the decade with like, do we want to look back in 30 years and be like, wow, we really never gave the sash up? Like, that's not cool. Like, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like, well, let's change it up. And stay true to who we are.
And they've already changed the crest. We've seen it. It's the simple one, like with the thing. And like the hat I bought last season had the LA and the croissant. So you know, that's, you know, what if it is? Oh, so AFJA, the people who raise the cleats and the jerseys and the soccer equipment for kids in El Salvador and South America, they dropped their own kit today that looks like the one the Riot Squad, or no, sorry, the ACB put out a little while ago. And theirs is just like, oh, look, a croissant like that. It's LA like this. And then the Quasar like offset a little bit, or up here offset a little bit. And I was like, I could see them doing that.
Dang, move it out of the center. I like that though, because so it's like you're this, like pointing out a star. Yeah,
this LA, and then this moved like over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be cool.
I don't know. What were those shoes called? The LA team shoes, where it would, I'm blanking, but there are some shoes where it's the LA and it's a star just like that. But you know, whatever.
I don't know. All right, boys. Anyways. Final thoughts. Great first episode. Strong season two.
There you go.
We'll be back next week, I would imagine, to cover the preseason and any Douglas Costa signing that is in the wings, any Pavone signing that is in the wings. Mm-hmm. We don't know shit. We don't have press passes.
yeah, exactly.
But
you know, hopefully soon.
Hey, bang, bang.
I promise I'll clean my mouth.
Yeah, we'll do what it takes. Help us. I wrote someone an Instagram DM that was ignored. That's fine. We're not going to say who. But I was like, would you like to help us, please? Like, get a little better, and we'll see. I don't know. We're growing. I like the vibes already. Mm-hmm. Mikey, final words?
Nothing much, man. Excited to get season two started. It's felt like a really long but short off season, but I'm ready. Yeah. It's about time. Let's see what we can do and then crack on forward.
Sick. Crack on, Timmy.
Yep. I'm ready for this preseason game. Sebastian Legette possibly playing.
Depends if he's back from camp or not. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Wait, he's still in camp?
I think so.
Okay. Hopefully. I mean, imagine that would be a crazy comeback. But I'm hyped for this preseason game. Hopefully Douglas Costa will be over the finish line soon.
Yep.
Pavone, maybe. We'll see. That's all I got to say.
All right. And I don't have anything to say other than thank you for checking this out. We've had one person watching us most of this time, so thank you to whoever you are. Shoot us a message. We'll send you some stickers. We'll be out there messing around at the stadium and maybe have some ideas for game day content and stuff, all that. Who knows? We will let you know. Mikey, hit him with the socials.
All right. Yeah. If you guys have listened this far into the G30 podcast, you can come check us out on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you can listen to podcasts at the G30 podcast. That is the G30 podcast. And if you'd like to come check me out on my socials, you can do so in the bottom left corner of the screen if you're watching at CFC Michael on Twitter. And that'll be it for me, boys. That is it.
Timmy, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. Here's my username down below. And you can also follow me on IG at SpicyTaco18. And yeah, that's it for me.
All right. And I am at CountChalk786. Mike, shout out to your guy, Joe Scheisty.
Joe,
I know that's been your thing.
Oh no, yeah, dude. Me and Darius have been running that one dry.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, we'll talk about that. But crazy day for LA sports yesterday, and that will be coming up. All right. This has been the G30 podcast. Peace.
Catch y'all later.
Later.